Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Zayin. We're holding the very top of the Amud. You'll recall we learned in the Mishnah towards the bottom of Vav Amud Beis that the Mishnah told us that if you have Ishus or Achbarim, different types of rodents, mice, etc., you're allowed to tzodin, you're allowed to go and capture them from either Stay Ilan or Stay Lovan. Stay Ilan means an orchard, Stay Lovan means where a field of grain. You're allowed to go and capture them kedarkoi b'moyid u'b'shvias. You don't have to make any special types of arrangements. You can go and capture them like you normally would do during Chol HaMoed or during Shmitah year, because if you don't capture these ishus and achbarim, they can damage the crops, they can damage the land, they can cause a lot of damage. You have hefsed meruba. Both
can moyid. You also hunt them?
Well, that certain means to go, and that includes to capture and hunt. But you don't normally hunt ishus and achbarim like you hunt, for instance, deer or bears or something like that. You don't stand out there with a gun ready to go and shoot. The achbarim, when the mice come, then you try to get them with a net. And in that way you get them, and ishus is the same type of thing. We'll see in the Gemara momentarily. Yeah, like you normally do. Not like you normally do. Now, what does that mean? That you normally, what you don't normally. So now we're getting to the Gemara here in the Amud Aleph. Notice the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda Omer. In our Mishnah, the name Rabbi Yehuda doesn't appear anywhere. And that's why, back in the Mishnah, right before the Chacham Omerim, there is an asterisk that takes you to the left-hand margin and says in other Svarim, it says, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda. And if you look at our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Oimim, Stei Lim Kedarkai, Stei Lim Shaloi Kedarkai is word for word what the Chacham say in the Mishnah, just that here we identify the Chacham as Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, but what is this Kedarkai and Shaloi Kedarkai? Turn it up on and talk to Bryce. Keitz Kedarkai, how do you go and capture these Ishus and these Achbarim? Achbarim, a mice Ishus, the Gemara said yesterday, are small chayas that don't have eyes, or that are blind. And we said that that might be a mole, might be a weasel. Some of them have long eyelids, and therefore it obscures their vision. But now we're talking about how do you capture them. It's talking about Ketzet Kedarkoi, what's the normal derech? Choyfer guma v'tole ba mitzuda. These types of rodents, these ishus and achbarim, typically live down below somewhere under the ground. The way you go and capture them is you make your own guma next to their guma and put in there a net. And as, or a trap, and as they leave their headquarters, their room, wherever they happen to be, and they go into your guma, boom, they're going to be captured by the trap, and you got them. That's the kedarka, that's the way they normally do it. Ketzet shaloi kedarkai, what's shaloi kedarkai? No, yet shpud. Shpud is a spit like you use in for roasting. Umake b'kurden, you go and put it into the ground, and you hit it with a kurden with a hammer. In other words, you use it like a pole, and then you knock it down with a hammer. Umarad ho adome mitachter, what's going to happen is they're eventually going to cause a building collapse down below. Not a building collapse like they had in Surfside, Nebuch, but we're talking about a small building collapse for the rodents, and they're going to be crushed underneath the earth as you push down the earth. That's how Rashi learns. There are other Rishonim that learn that the girs is not merada, but medada. Medada means that you're going to shake the earth by going and knocking this this spit into the ground. And as it becomes more and more shaky, the rodents down below believe that it's an earthquake of sorts, and they come up from their holes down below, and then you chop them with your net or your trap.
Guma anyway, is headquarters?
I'm sorry?
Guma is headquarters?
Guma is a hole. But okay. The headquarters for all of the rodents is inside a hole. They don't normally build a huge, large edifice
and
a palace. Exactly. So down below, in the guma, in the hole, that's where they live underneath, and then you add another one, and then they come from your guma, from their guma to your guma, and then you chata. Tanya. Here it says Reb Shimon Aloz, on the side it says Reb Leza ben Yaakov Oimer, Kisha Omru Mistei Lovan Shaloi Kedarkoi, Loi Omru Ela Bistei Lovan Hasmucha Li'ir. What's the Gemara telling us? When we said in the Mishnah, which we just quoted a moment ago, that you can't do it kederk. What's the reason why this is kederk and shaloi kederk? So we explained yesterday in the Mishnah, because when you're talking about a stehel ilan, it causes a lot of terrible damage, so you don't have to do any shinuyim. However, if it's a stay lovan, then the ishus and achbarim don't do such considerable damage. It's more minimal damage. So therefore, you have to make ashtikol shinuy to show that it's chalamoy, to show that it's shmita year. And that's why it says the chomim say ilan kedarka, stay lovan shaloi kedarka.
Doesn't that create turchi sera? When you just say shaloi kedarka,
virtually every time you do something that is a shinuy, it's a
It's a
for instance, on Shabbos, it says that you have to do a malacha to go and do something, for instance,
save a life,
whatever, you should try to do with a shina. Doing without a shina is going to cause you an additional amount of tikkun, just thinking about it and just doing it. But nevertheless, as Chacham said, to go and show the Kedushas Shabbos, right here, the Kedushas Chalamoy, Kedushas Shmit, you do with a shina so people see, oh, this person is not just working in the field, but he's doing things differently. To show thee and identify and signify the Kedusha. Anyway, Tanya the Blessed Ben Yaakov, Oymer, Tisha Omrim, Stay Lovin', Shaloi Kedarka. When did they say then Stay Lovin', if you have this rodent problem that you do a Shinoi with Shaloi Kedarka? Loi Omrim, Elab, Stay Lovin', Asmucha Li'ir. When the Stay Lovin' is close to the city. So when you are able to rid the rodents from your karka, worst comes to worst, they go into the city, and of course they're a nuisance and an annoyance. However, they don't cause damage. If you're going to go and do this with a shinoi, you know what happens? You may not capture all of the rodents, and instead they're going to run from your stay lovin into the stay ilon and then cause lots of damage. Why? Was it the Gemara? Shema Yetzu. Stay alive and the Akhri Vesey Lara. So you're going to leave the stay alive. This seems to be a problem over there. I'm not exactly sure what the problem is, but maybe you can help out there.
What does it mean?
It's Sanhedrin or something. Sorry.
Stay loving.
Stay loving is a field that has in it grain. So when you see the standing grain and you look at the field, it looks all white. For instance, you have chitim. Chitim is wheat. Or you have soyrim is barley. So you see this beautiful, beautiful field. Instead of just seeing brown mud down below or brown earth, you see this beautiful grain, and it's called the stay loving because it's a majestic white field.
Thank you.
That's very well.
You live in the Midwest, you know all about this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The corn, the wheat.
Shucks.
And we continue.
Soybeans.
Oh, makrin is up here to the mite. What happens if part of your fence in the field has unfortunately fallen through, broken, collapsed? You're allowed to go and make a small tikkun in Cholam Moed, but you're not allowed to go and rebuild it. Rebuilding you got to do after Yontif. So you can do a temporary fix on Cholam Moed. The Mishnah added, if it's Shmita year, then by the Kedarka, then you can go and build it up normally. But if you're talking about during Cholam Moed, you got to go and do just a patch and nothing more, like a band-aid. So Gemara gives us an example. Ketzin makrin, you know, what type of band-aid you going to put on a fence? Rav Yosef Omer behutza v'dafna. Behutza v'dafna means a very, very flimsy type of partition. We have behutza v'dafna in Masechtas Bava Basra when it talks about hashutfim that want to go and split up their field and they can make a partition, and the slimmest and most narrow partition is made out of behutza v'dafna. But what does behutza v'dafna mean? Behutza v'dafna means basically taking lulav fronds, lulav leaves, and interweaving them, similar to the kosher kluch that you have on your lulav. As you know, 99% of the people, when they have the lulav, they have hadassim and arovais. What holds up the hadassim and arovais? There's kosher kluch that you put on the bottom of a lulav, which itself is made out of lulav leaves. So now you take a whole bunch of such lulav leaves, and you make crisscross, and you put a patch on the fence where there is the hole, and the Mitzvah after Yomtif, you're going to go and make, you fix it properly. That's Rav Yosef. But Masisa Tana Tzar Bitzroir V'Einoi Toch B'Tit. What you can do is you can go and fill it in with a bunch of stones, a bunch of bricks, and just don't put any cement. So of course if a person leans against it, it'll fall. So you put up a little sign, just leave it there nicely. So it's also a temporary fix, it's not a permanent fix, and this is also permissible on Chol HaMoed. This limitation of our Mishnah that you can only put on a temporary fixture in Chol HaMoed is if you're talking about a koisel, a fence around the gina, around a garden. Because what can possibly happen? What can happen is that during the Chol HaMoed, somebody might come and steal a couple of tomatoes or a couple of grass or crops or whatever is there, or maybe even some animals might be able to get in. If you do a chotzer, chotzer is already around your residential property, around your house. Oh, if that has a hole in it, says Rashi, if you don't go and build it properly, and you're going to leave it with a big hole, then ganavim can come. Ganavim are thieves. We don't want chas v'shalom the person should be the victim of a theft. And that's why if it's a koisel chotzer, you can go and rebuild it the way you have to properly. Let's talk and bring a raya that when you're talking about a koisel of a building or of a chotzer, then you can rebuild it properly. So what's the raya? We have here a brisa, the koisel hagoich l'shusarab. You have a koisel that unfortunately is not fully stable, and it is leaning over the shusarabim, so that people that are walking by the shusarabim should be very, very careful. Now, if this is in the middle of Chol HaMoed, and he sees the koisel is leaning and is bending over the shusarabim, says the braisa, soiser ubayne kedarka. You're allowed to go and dismantle it, destroy it, and rebuild it, because if it's a kind of chas v'shalom passers by, might chas v'shalom be the victim of one of those bricks from them. Even here, unfortunately, even here in New York, from time to time, people walking down the street.
And was killed on 7th Avenue,
Exactly. So it is a real sakana. So you've got to be ubayna kedarkai in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Oh, so I see that when you're talking about the wall of a chotzer or the wall of a building, you don't have to go and put on a patch metutz of a dafni. You can do a proper rebuilding. Oh, so we have a good raya that koisel chotzer boiner kedaka. Everything more, no, you have no raya. Pum faket, awesome, can you tell me time? They are sakana. It's only because it's sakana. If it's no sakana, you have no heter to be boine kedarkai, so therefore you have no right. And in fact, there's another version just the opposite. It's only because of the sakana the Chacham said you can be soiser boine kedarkai in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So it sounds like otherwise there is no heter. You just said a moment ago, Rav Chisda, that koisel chotzer you're always allowed to be boine kedarkai. Here it's saying only al sakone. It's l'choyda shtarka kasha on Rav Chisda. And if you're talking more, lay me there to you of the Rav Chisda, l'choyda shtarka kasha on Rav Chisda. I'm like Rav Chisda. No. Hosem soiser ubayne, hocham boine veloi soiser. Says Rav Chisda, in the case of that brisa, because of the sakana, not only are you allowed to be boina, but you're allowed to go and be soiser. You can call two crews, one crew to go and demolish and to take away this terrible wall that's unfortunately very, very shaky and it's leaning over into the shusaram. And then you're allowed to go and bring another crew to go and rebuild it. Why? They are sakana. In our case, when there is no sakana, all that you're allowed to do is boina kedarkai. There is no basis of being both soiser u boina. So you can go and do a proper permanent fix. Don't take down the whole wall and rebuild it. That you can. But you can go and fix it properly, and not just with a band-aid, a temporary fix of the chutz of the dafna, or with the uncemented blocks or bricks. It's awesome. So boina ocha boina vloises. Since the sakana of that wall is Rav Chassid Shalom, it can go and collapse and hit somebody over the head. So all you need to do is demolish the wall. For that, you don't have to go and rebuild the wall. So if you're going to tell somebody that you're not allowed to go and rebuild the wall around your chotzer, all you have to do is demolish it, he'll say, yeah, but now I'm leaving it open to ganov and people can come Chassid Shalom steal. So then there won't be any great incentive to be soiser the wall. Now everything is hope it. Hopefully, yeah, sure. I'll be mispalled every day. I'll say three kapitel chtelim that it's not going to fall throughout the Yom Tov, throughout the Chol HaMoed, and we'll fix it after Yom Tov. No. We want to incentivize people to go and prevent chas v'sholem a certain danger chulila from happening. So not only can they be soiser, they can also be boinem. Omer Rashi Masid Namdek. I'll bring a taka raif from our Mishnah. What are we bringing a raif to? To the writer of Chizda, that by Gina ain't a boyne b'moed kedarkoi, but by Chotzer, yeah. What's the right? Diktani says in the Mishnah, Vashvi is boyne kedarkoi. We've been focusing the whole time on the Chol HaMoed aspect, where it says at the end of the Mishnah, Makaris appears in the Moed, or Bishvi is boyne kedarkoi. So let's focus now on the Bishvi is boyne kedarkoi. That during Shmita year, if you have a hole in the wall, you're allowed to go and fix it like normal. What type of wall are we talking about? Ilay midechotzer, we're talking about a chotzer, which is a wall of a courtyard next to a house. Tzricha meima, you're going to tell me that for the whole year of Shemitah, when you have a problem with a wall, not a wall in a field, a wall in a residential area next to a house, you're telling me that you can't go and fix that properly in Shemitah year. Shemitah year, you're allowed to do all types of work, just not agricultural work. A person who happens to be a computer programmer in Eretz Yisrael works normally. It's just the farmers that are off because of the Isur Mashmita. So therefore, Avada, a regular Koifel Chotzer, which is in a, you're talking about around the house, Avada can go and fix that during the Shemitah year and rebuild it. Well, what's the Shaya? El Alav Muzmuk V'Zogim, that the Mishnah must be talking about, that we're talking about a Gina, that in Shemitah year you're allowed to go and rebuild it. So what are you going to do? So why would there be a problem? The Avagav the Mechzi Kimandi of the Tirus on the Peri. There's a Maris Ayin aspect over here. Somebody who sees that you are rebuilding the wall in your garden or in your field will think, no, why are you building walls inside the field? I mean, after all, it's Schmidt here. Well, what are you doing there?
Aren't you supposed to be Donald Cox's close?
You just eviscerated a lot of Gemara there. Yeah. Some of these are Mechzik is this, mm-hmm. Mechzik is that.
No. The question is well taken. There's no, absolutely, everybody should always be done in the Kasus. The reason why there is a Mishnah that says you should be done the kafschus, because human nature is such that, unfortunately, not here, not in our shul, everybody's done kafschus, but you have some people, unfortunately, on the North Pole or on the South Pole that not always are done the kafschus, and when they see somebody doing something, they would say, oh, Yankel Berl doing something. Oh. So now, it's not necessarily that they will look upon him with a jaundiced eye and with a feeling of negativity. They may say, Yanko Smith, I know him, he's a choshevit. If he can go and build a gina, a wall for his gina in his field, it sounds like that the Hilcha Shemitah don't apply anymore. And so therefore, I should be able to do it too. And they don't realize that what happened was that there was a hole in it, and the purpose was not Neturus of the Peri, but rather because he was afraid, I don't know, of Ganovim, or this, that, and the other thing, and that's the reason why he's doing it. So the Maris Ayin is not necessarily that we're saying that people will look upon him negatively, but they shouldn't learn as an example from him and say, if this Choshev Yid can do X, Y, Z, so now I can do the same thing. It's good. Fine. Anyway, so back to our Gemara. So that's the reason why I would think so. Back, we obviously are not talking about a koisel chotzer because that's a devil posh. So we must be talking about a koisel gina. See, Avagav the Mechzi Kamadi Om Neturus on the Peri, even though it looks like he's doing some sort of shmir for Peiros, and that's the reason why we should assert it. Kamash Malan, now we say by the Kedarka that it is butter. And therefore, I see from this that the Shvi'ez case is talking about gina, so too the Makras appears in my mind is talking about a gina. So we have Taka Raya to Rav Chizda that Amish is not talking about a koisel chotzer, we're talking about a koisel gina. Zok the Mishnah. Now from here until the end of today's blot is a drop more challenging. The reason why it's challenging, not because it's particularly hard, but rather because we are not familiar sufficiently with this sugya to be able to really appreciate every one of the fine points. But we'll do the best we can under the circumstances. What our Mishnah is going to tell us now, and what the Gemara is going to address, is the Indian of Chas Shalom, a person who has become a Mitzoyra. What means a metzora? Metzora means a person has gotten on his body. He also have what's called tzaras beged on his clothing, tzaras ksolim or batim on the wall. But we're talking about it now, a person who gets a nega tzaras on his body. Now, what is a nega tzaras? So, when you learn Maseches Negoyim, Rashi brings a lot of this in Chumash. They're one of four types of white blotches, white spots. The people call it leprosy, but it's not leprosy, because leprosy is really more of a physical manifestation. This is more of a spiritual manifestation. Anyway, so you have one of those four different colorations of white, and if a person has that, and has in addition to that one of three additional simonim, then he becomes what we call a confirmed metzora. What are those other three simonim? Either sehar lovan, that in the white blotch there is some white hair growing out of it, or you have basar chai, basa'es. Basar chai means that you have some of the skin is starting to grow back and look as if it's normal skin, or finally what's called pisyon. Pisyon means that it spreads. So the first time a person has such a white blotch, white spot on his body, he tries of course to go and wash it thoroughly with soap, but it doesn't go off, and people say, uh-oh, Yankel, you might have a nega tzaras. Oh, no! Who decides whether it's a nega tzaras or not? The Torah gives that power and authority solely to the kohen. You go bring it to a kohen, and you ask the kohen, is this a white spot, yes or no? Now, naturally, not all kohanim were all bikiyim, so presumably you went to a kohen that knew his stuff and knew Hilchas Nagoyim, and he would be able to pronounce it and say, is this the white spot of Nagoyim or not? Now, if you appeared to him on that first time, not only with a spot, but also with the white hairs, and or with the basar chai, meaning that in the middle of the spot, some of the basar seems to be normal, regular human skin, then he would be able to pronounce you on the spot, you're a metzora. And that would be a metzora muchlat. Muchlat means we've made a firm, definitive determination that this person is a metzora. Good. What happens, however, if the person appears with a spot, but there is no se'ar lovan, there's no white hair growing out, there's also no basar chai? So then the kohen says, it doesn't look good, but you don't have all the simonim. In the meantime, you're going to be a metzora muskar. Means, nowadays we all know what this is all about, you quarantine the person. Now, in the modern day quarantining, we keep on going up and down for 14 days, to 7 days, to 5 days, to 3 days, to no days. But in the time of the Torah, quarantining was for 7-day period. You go and put him away for 7 days, he doesn't go michutz lemachne, he goes and stays in his own home, he doesn't raise in the gas, doesn't go to shul, doesn't go to bismedish, he listens to the daf always on the Zoom, etc., etc., and that person is quarantined for a week. A week later, again the kohen comes, he shows him if at that point, growing out of the spot, you have the se'er lavan, the white hairs, or you have basar chai, or pisyon, the spot grew, oy vavoy. Then the kohen says, you are now a metzora muchlat. Decisive. We've determined it. On the other hand, what happens if nothing happened that looks exactly the same as the previous week? Then the kohen says, call me up in a week, I'm going to come back. So he becomes a metzora muskar for a second week.
A quarantine.
Right. It's called a metzora muskar. Muskar from Russian sogar, that you close the door and you close it with a key and you say goodbye. But he's not. You don't send him out chutz l'machna, he stays at home, quarantined. If at the end of 2 weeks you come back, the kohen comes back, now we make a final decision. Meaning, if nothing has grown, no seir lovin, no basar chai, and it has not expanded, then the kohen says to him, sayonara, you're off the hook, this is not tzaras, it's boy haku, and you are tohar. On the other hand, if any one of those three simanim appears, then he becomes a muchlat. You never have more than 2 weeks quarantine for 2 weeks, and then you have a final decision, yes or no, and that's the end. Good. This is throughout the year. What happens if the person has these issues on Chol HaMoed? then the Mishnah is going to go and tell us, if the Kohen is going to tell him bad news, he's going to be very upset. And we want that a person should be able to go and enjoy Yom Tov and the Simchas Yom Tov. We don't want to go and upset him and tell him that he has a Negat Saras in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So what do we do under the circumstances? As we said, the only one that can determine this is a Kohen. Not a doctor, not a rocket scientist, not the Fauci or anybody else. The only one is a Kohen that can make this determination. So says our Mishnah, Rameir Oimer Royin Es HaNegoyim LeHokel Avaloi LeHachmir. You allow the Kohen to come and to declare, yes, Baruch Hashem, this is garnish, this is not a nega, you're fine, go back home, enjoy Yom Tov with your family, go to shul, go to Bes Medrash, go out and do it, no quarantining, nothing. You allow him to be raised in the Kohen, lehokel, to be nekel and say, you're tohar. Avloi lehachmer, but not to be machmer. So according to the mayor, if the Kohen sees that he is tohar, that this is in fact not a nega tzaras, he should tell him, Yankel, I have great news for you. You're not a Metzayra. Everything is great and beautiful. What happens if, unfortunately, he says, it doesn't look so good? It's a Machan HaShvaig. Machan HaShvaig means he should be silent. He shouldn't say anything. He should go and say, Yankel, really nice meeting you. This is not the time to discuss these issues. I'll be back after Yom Tov. I don't have time now. I have to get back to the daf. It's a difficult daf. They said it's challenging. We don't have time. So he shouldn't express any opinion one way or the other. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi and the Mishnah. Roy Nisim Negoim Lahakil. Kaloi Mar. Roy HaKoyin Negat Tzaras. V'moiv LaTahir. To go and say that it's Tahir, yes, the Koyin should go and he should pronounce it. He should say, Tuhay. Baloi LaHachmer. Shimroi HaKoyin Shu Tomei. Eimer Eimer Klum. Keep your mouth shut. In the Tamoy, if he's going to tell him, I'm sorry, I really apologize, I'm so upset for you. He's going to cause him tzar. So therefore, that's how this comes into our Masechta, because we're talking about what's permissible, what's prohibited on Chol HaMoed. Says Rameir, he's permitted to give him good news, but he shouldn't give him bad news. And we're going to see in the Gemara, who are these Chachamim? We're going to see that in Yetz Hashem, it's Rabbi Yossi, Loi LaHakel, V'Loi LaHachmir. It's a package deal. It's all or nothing. If you call him to go and make a determination, just like you want him to say that it's good news, unfortunately, if it's bad news, he has to share the bad news. And therefore, say the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi, don't have the Kohen called at all. When you call a Kohen during Chol HaMoed on the telephone and say, Kohen, I'd like to make an appointment and show you my white blotches. Maybe they are Negat Tzaras. The Kohen is supposed to tell him, I'm very sorry, we're very busy now during Chol HaMoed. Call me up after Yom Tov. I'm not going to come over, not Lohokil and not Lehachmir. Why, when, where? All of that is going to be developed in much greater detail in the Gemara. So we start off time. We have a bright. Remember, we had Rameir in the Mishnah, the same Rameir, Oimer, Royin Es HaNegoyim, when on Chol HaMoed, LeHakel, Avloi LaHachmir. He's only supposed to pronounce and tell him good news. If it's bad news, he says, I'm sorry, I'm busy today, LeHitra'ot, I'll see you after Yom Tov. Yes.
This is a brisa, but it's pretty much saying exactly the same thing as in the Mishnah.
Exactly right.
So why do we have a duplicative...
Very good question. And the answer is, in terms of Rameir, we haven't added a word, we haven't subtracted a word, but now we're going to come to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Loi LaHakel V'Loi LaHachmer. In other words, we are now expanding upon the Chacham of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason why, says the Braisa? Shim'ata Nizkak Loi LaHakel. If you allow him to go and make a decision regarding LaHakel for good news... V'loy lahachmir. I'm sorry, I skipped. Jemata niska loy lahakel niska kloy af lahachmir. Once he comes on the scene, when you make an appointment with the doctor, you ask the doctor all for his full advice. He can't stop in the middle and say, "Oh, I'm only going to do 3 tests. Come back later for another 5 tests." No. Once you're there for a full appointment. It's a all or nothing type of situation, from nuts to bolts, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, everything. You can't split it down the middle. So therefore, if you are zokik him, if you're calling him to tell you good news, then he's got to also tell you the bad news. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, let the Kohen stay home and not say anything. Okay, now the Gemara brings, or the Braisa brings yet a third view. And that is the view of Rebbe. And we find this from time to time in Shas, where Rebbe is kind of a Yovei HaKosev HaShlishi VeHriya Bineim, where Rebbe says, I like the view of one regarding A, and I like the view of the second one regarding B. And that's what Rebbe says. Rebbe Nir and Divir Meir, the Musker, the Divir of Yoisi be Muchlat. I prefer the words of Remeir by Musker, meaning by a Metzoyra Musker, where the Metzoyra Musker is calling him during Cholamoy to make a pronouncement, I like Remeir, yes, go on the scene, tell him good news if there's good news, don't say anything if it's bad news, and I prefer Rabbi Yossi if it's a Metzoyra Muchlat, a Metzoyra who is already a decided full-fledged Metzoyra, and now he's hoping that the Tzaras has left, then I hold like Rabbi Yossi. Don't go, don't say anything, stay home, wait until after Yatav. What's the reason why Rebbe takes these sides? Mirchem will see on the Amid base. Stay tuned for further elaboration of Rebbe. With this, we have concluded the Brisa, and I hope, Ariel, that's given you now a feeling why we need the Brisa in addition to the Mishnah. Because although the Brisa repeats Remeir word for word, we have an elaboration of Rebbe Yossi, and we have Rebbe that's come to the scene, who we don't find in the Mishnah at all. Right? So, Omerot. So now Rava is going to go into the micro, into the details. Says Rava, B'tohar, a person who happens to be Tohar, meaning your regular, normal, average Jew, that has never had a problem until now with Tzaraas, sees white blotches, and now is having nightmares, oy, yoy, yoy, this might be Neged Tzaraas, Kol Yama Pligi, Teloy Chosilei. Even Remeir would say, why do I have to even open up a can of worms? Let's wait until after Yontif. In the meantime, we all Kahanim are busy doing things related to Yontif. We're bringing Karbonis in the base of English. We don't have the time. Call us up after Yontif. Don't look. Period. The Hesker Rishon, if you're talking about Hesker Rishon, what means Hesker Rishon? That this person was already Musker Rishon because the Kohen had already told him a week ago, my friend, it looks like white tzaras, but we don't have any of the simonim yet. We don't have the white ears. We don't have the Boser Chai. There was no Pisyon. It hasn't spread. So he told him, we're quarantining you for a week. Now the week is over. We want to know, should we go to see him? Should we not go to see him? Should we wait until after Yom Tov? Everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yossi, that we should go and look. Now what's the reason why everybody would agree? So you have the Rashi here towards the end, the Hezger Rishon. Says Rashi, no nefshach. Shemitai, if the Kohen is able to come back and say, wow, the white blotch has left the scene. You're now Tohar. That's great. You can imagine how happy this person must be, Mr. Mechli. Eloi Matayr Le, if he does not go and be Matayrim, Le Matama Le Yoisim in Yemeikara. He hasn't made it any worse than it was until now. El Mazgele Pam Shnia. He just says, sir, there's been no change, and therefore, you unfortunately have to go in Musker. Well, anyway, happens to be Musker. So nothing gained, nothing lost. So if he's able to be Matayrim, that's great. If he can't be Matayrim, and he tells him, unfortunately, it looks like it's more of the same. So it's more of the same. So nothing has changed. Everything is fine. Kuliyam would plead the Chazilei that, yes, he should go, even according to Bioitzi, and Paskin Lahakil Salahachmir. On the surface, this all sounds wonderful. But it's really not so crystal clear. The reason why it's not so crystal clear is because Rashi only talks about two possible outcomes. There's a third possible outcome, and that is that the Kohen looks at him at the end of 1 week and says, uh-oh, I see white here. Or I see that it has expanded. Or I see that there is the Basar Chai. And then he's going to be a Metzora Mukhlat. And that's going to be terrible news. So why does everybody hold like Lee the Chazilei? So that's the bottom choice that's asked this Kasha. If you want to just take a little look at the choices on the first, he brings Mashapiro. Okay, let's start from the beginning of the choices. Mashapiro is Bekuntris. Besoif Hesker Rishon at the end of the first week of quarantine. Because Itahar Shabbat. Until now he was anyway, Rashi says, in jail, meaning he was in quarantine. So nothing has changed. He'll either become tahar or he'll stay in jail for another week. The kosher, Dilma Pasa Hanega, maybe it spread. The Yatami Mukhlat, Vachi Mashbin Akoyim. And that's going to be much worse. Because what's the din by a Metzayra Mukhlat? He has to be Nishtaleach, sent away, Chutz Lamachna, which the Gemara calls Chutz Lisholish Machnois. The Machna Shechina, the Machna Liyah, and Machna Yisrael. All the way out, outside of the city limits, he's going to have to be out there in the hot and in the cold. Not a very comfortable situation. So that's a terrible outcome. Rashi says, anyway, so because of that, Tosis has a different pshat, ayin b'Tosis. But just wanted to introduce to you that there is that third option, which Rashi ignores. Could be Rashi disagrees with Tosis. Anyway, getting back to Akimara, so keep ligi. So if everybody agrees that if he's tahar, don't look. Well, why are you opening up a can of worms? If it's Hezgarish and everybody says, yes, the coin should look, fine. So where's the machlokes? Keep ligi the Hezker shiny. When the second week is now over, and now the Kohen is coming on the scene to make that final psak. Yes or no? Is he going to be upgraded to Matzera Mukhlat, or is he going to be told it's not Tiras after all, you can go home? So Mar Sovar, the Kohen Talya Milza, it all depends on the Kohen. Itohar, Amalei Tohar, this is Remeir speaking. If the Kohen sees at the end of 2 weeks that Baruch Hashem, there's been no spreading and no say love and no nothing, you're tar, Baruch Hashem, I have great news for you, go home, you can now go back to your wife and your mishpucha, you don't have to sit in the chutz l'machna any longer, so that's great news. The Tomei, if unfortunately he sees that he is Tomei, and this Hezger Sheni is now going to mushroom into a full-fledged Matzorah Mukhlat, Shosik, he should be quiet, he should say, I gotta check it out. I'll get back to you after Yom Tov, because in the meantime I have to look up the Chuvas Chasam Soifin, the Chuvas Rabbi Kibbeger, Chuvas Noid Behuda, the Rambam, but I'll get back to you, yes.
So when he says, I get back to you, he has to go back to where he's in, like, limbo.
But he's only in quarantine. He doesn't have to go and go out chutz l'machna.
But I'm saying, he goes, if the Kohen says, I'll get back to you, so he goes back to quarantine.
Exactly. He is already in quarantine, and now he wants to know whether he's tar or he's tameh. So, if it would be middle of the week, normal, regular day, he would tell him decisively, you are now free to go, you're no longer a metzora, everything is great, you're tar. If unfortunately he says, uh-oh, there's pisya and it's spread, you're now tameh, he's going to have to go and take his suitcase, put in there enough underwear for the next 6 months or so, and he's going to have to go chutz l'machna, three machnas, because of the fact that unfortunately he's tameh. That would be a terrible outcome. But rather, if he can go and tell him, I can't decide, I'll come back after Yom Tov, so he can stay home. So it's only
a mitzvah. So once it's mukhlat, the minimum quarantine is 6 months once you have...
No, I just threw that as an example. Okay. Theoretically, you can have 1 day, and theoretically it could be for 50 years, until the tzaraas leaves his body. He's going to have to do a lot of tshuva, and his tshuva and his tilla might not be strong enough. And that's why Tamei Tamei Yikra, as we learned yesterday in the Gemara, he's supposed to call out to other people passing by, and they're going to have Rachmanis on him, and they're going to go and say to him, Koyderloi, what does the Gemara say? It says, Tamei Tamei Yikra, Tzarech Lohidia, Tzaroi L'Rabim, V'Rabim Mavakshin Olav Rachmin. They have such Rachmanis, this Nebuch, this poor fellow has been sitting out Chutz L'Machin now for 10 years. If everybody says to him in unison, Kodesh Baruch Hu will hopefully listen and free this person from his bonds of Torah. The reason why the person becomes a Metzora, because he was sinning. So he has to do a lot of tshuva to make the Torah go away. Anyway, so that's Remeir. He tells him either Tohar, and if he sees his tummy, Shosik, he's quiet. Umar Sova and Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have that option. The Torah says, Tarai Oyle Tamaiksev. It's a package deal. If you can go and paskin the Tohar, then you have to paskin Tohar. And if you have to paskin Tomei, you have to say Tomei. You can't go and split it down the middle and say, I'll only tell him good news and not bad news. It's all or nothing. If you're there on the scene, you have to tell him if he's Tohar or he's Tomei. What you can do is, don't come. Just say, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I can't come. So that's the machloket between the mayor and Rabbi Yossi. So far, relatively easy. Now it gets a little bit more complicated. Omamar. Omer Rebbe. Rebbe said, near and dim Rabbi Yosef Mukhlat. I like Rabbi Yosef Mukhlat, that if you have a Metzora who is already Mukhlat, then you tell him, I can't come now, I'm going to come after Yom Tov. V'divrei Rav Meir b'Musker, and I prefer the words of Rav Meir b'Musker, where it's only a quarantined Metzora Musker. Frankly, more about Tanya, but there's another braisa that says, Ipcha, just the opposite. The Rebbe says, Nirin divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Musker, v'divrei Rav Meir b'Muchlat. Says Yom Tov, Yali the Rebbe. It's machloikis what Rebbe said. In other words, Rebbe had numerous Talmidim, and among the Talmidim, there was some dispute where some of the Talmidim said, like we have in the Gemara, Divrei Yossi ben Muchlat, Divrei Meir ben Musker, and others said the opposite, Divrei Yossi ben Musker, and Divrei Meir ben Muchlat. But what are the svaris? Why would Rebbe hold this way? Why would Rebbe hold the other way? Zokti Yimara, Marisavet Tzavsa di Alma Odif Lei, or Marisavet Tzavsa di Ishtoi Adif Lei. One of the two believes that Tzavsa di Alma, I much prefer, says a Metzora, to be able to be together with humans and civilization. I should be able to kibitz with Eden about whether the cookies have that white stuff in them and you want to take it off or not, and be able to go and come on, it's stuff. Young, everybody, come on in, it's already the time. Yeah. So I prefer there to be among the whole island. Or other people say, no. I don't care about the oilam. My oilam is a goilam. I want my wife. I want to be close to my wife. Now, what does that mean, you want to be close to your wife? So we're going to see in the Gemara shortly. The Gemara is going to go and tell us, ironically, even though Muchlat, of course, is much, much worse than Musker. Musker, you stay at home, you're quarantined. Muchlat means you're sent, chutz l'machne, chutz l'shogash machnois, outside of the city limits. They're all by yourself. However, legabi tashmishamitza means marital relations with one's wife. During the period of Musker, you're not allowed to have relations. During the period of Muchlat, you are allowed to have relations. It's ironic, I agree. How do we know this? We'll see in the Gemara from Sukkot.
How are you going to have relations if you have to be outside the city limits?
She's going to have to hire either a taxi or an Uber or a Lyft, or find out if there is a caravan that's going in that direction. She's going to buy a ticket. She's going to go there, and she'll stay with her.
So I'm saying, so he is allowed to have contact in that regard, but any other societal contact is not.
Not only that, when anybody wants to come close to him and say, Yanko, I miss you, I haven't seen you in such a long time, stay away. Tommy Yikra, Price, don't come close to me. His wife, he can go.
Ishtokagufo.
Yes.
But they can bring them food.
They can bring food, but they can't get close to him. They probably have to put on the ground and then flee. Run for the hills. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you for bringing that to our attention. That was real good food for thought, Shavi. Thank you. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So now the question is, if a person happens to be, okay, and one, we only talked about two periods of time, during the Musker and the Muchlat. What happens after Muchlat is over? In other words, what happens when the Kohen gives them good news? Yanka, I got great news for you, Baruch Hashem, no more blotches, no more tzaras, you're free to go. What does he do then? He doesn't go automatically and join, go back into the Shmedish or join the Daf. What does he have to go and do? First, he has to bring two Shtei Tziporim Chayis Tehoirois. He has to shecht one. He has to go and dip it into the blood with water, Mayim Chayim, Agan Samaisa. And then he has to go and count 7 days, Shiva 7 days. And those 7 days, hopefully no blotches come back. And then at the end of the 7 days, he has to go and bring various Kabbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. Those 7 days are called Yemei Tzfirai. And once again, ironically, during the Yemei Sfira, he's again prohibited to live with his wife. So therefore, during Musker times, stay away, no Tasha Shamita, no marital relations. During the Muchla times, yes, he can live with his wife. And then during Yemei Sfira, once again, he can not live with his wife. So now, depending on whether you want to be back in civilization, so you want to end the Muchlat period as quickly as possible so I can go back and join everybody, and I don't have to be Mechutz L'machane. On the other hand, if you want to be close to your wife, you might prefer the Muchlat period rather than the Yemei Sfirai period, because during that period of time, you will not be able to have relations with your wife. So, depending on your viewpoint, this could either be good news or bad news. I realize after Yimei Svira, of course, he will be reunited. But we're talking about now during Chol HaMoed. He wants to be with his wife, or does he want to be with the Olam? And that's what the basis of the Machlokes is. But how does that fit into where the Rebbe near and the Rebbe b'muchlat and Rebbe Remei b'muskar, or vice versa? So for that, we have to look at the Rashi, because Rashi explains it in very nice detail. So if you look at the Rashi, Mar Sova Tzavsa the Ishtoi Odifle. Now this is going back on the first Maisa, in other words, the first Lashon that we have in our Gemara, that near and the Rebbe Yosef b'muchlat, Remei b'muskar. Says Rashi. That's about two lines lower down in the Rashi, about 15 lines into the Rashi. You know why, says Rebbe, Nirin Divir Rabbi Yosi B'muchlat, Rabbi Yosi holds, yes, the Kohen will come and take a look. He says, V'hochi chozi leidin moyed behezgir sheni, the metaroi misamchoi, because if in fact he's able to retire him, that's a great simcha, that's wonderful. Vafilu metamalei, and even if he's going to be metame him, ummachletlei, ummashadalei chutz l'sholish machnois, even if he's going to go and say, I'm sorry, you've become a muchlat, v'lesle tzavsa v'imshi da'alma, and you don't have the right now to drezach in society, afil hachi less late tzara, there's no tzar. The islay tzavsa the ishtoi. Now that it's muchlat, Baruch Hashem, I'm back with my wife, I'm reunited. Umutahu bi ishtoi liyasyachet ima bi mechalutai. And so therefore, that's why Rashi says, I like divre meir, the musker. Musker, until now, this fellow was a musker. He was quarantined. Now I want to decide, yes or no, did he now mushroom and be upgraded to a mukhlat, or is he in fact tahar? That's what Rashi says over here, that's why Rebbe says, I like Remeir. What does Remeir say? Remeir says he should tell him the good news. What's the good news? Baruch Hashem, you have no more blotches, you're free to go, you're now tahar. What about the other side of the coin? Remeir says if there's bad news, he can be silent. He can only just be quiet. Don't say anything. You don't want to go and tell him that he's going to grow from a musker into a mukhlat. That would be terrible news. Rashi, however, says that Rebbe agrees to Remeir v'lav mitame, meaning, I agree with Remeir's shita. The kohen should go. He should declare and pronounce and make a decision. But according to Remeir of our Mishnah, he should only tell him good news. He shouldn't tell him bad news. Rebbe says, even the bad news is good news. Because what are you going to tell me, that he's no longer musker, he's now, unfortunately, a mukhlat? That's good news, because he has his wife back. So, therefore, he can decide and say whatever he wants to. As far as Rabbi Yosi is concerned, I agree with him, b'mukhlat. Continues Rashi. V'divir Rabbi Yosi b'mukhlat. Da'afilu mitayrle. Says Rabbi Yosi, even if he says that he's tahar, the Avagav v'shemer in the Machne Yisrael. Oh, this seems to be great. He's able to go back into Machne Yisrael. Islay tzara, he still has tzar. To lesli tzavsa the ishtoi. To osir hu, he is going to be osir now. Why? It was mimei chalutoi. Until now, mimei chalutoi, he was mutter b'ishtoi. Now, if the kohen tells him that he's tohar, great news, back into society.
No.
Yeah, but in the mei sfira, he's still osir to his wife. The kima the matar le mi chalutoi mi boi le le mim ni shevi yimei sfira. You got to start counting the 7 days. Ub yimei sfira, osir mitash shemita. Dichsid, v'yoshev michutz li aholoi shivas yamim. You're back in society, back into the machna, but not back at home for 7 days. What means they're not back at home?
So
this is just a euphemistic term when he says he's chutz li aholoi. Means v'aholoi zu ishtoi. It says by Matan Torah that after Matan Torah was over, you can go back home now, because there was shloishes in mehagbola when the men and women were not allowed to live together, so that he shouldn't be a balkeri and she shouldn't also be a balas keri from the residue of his keri that was injected in her, and so therefore they had to refrain from all marital relations. Everybody had to go to the mikveh. But after Matan Torah, you're allowed to return to the oil. And oil is a euphemistic term to mean to have relations. Therefore, says Rebbe, I prefer Rebbe Yosi, the mukhlat, that if you have a material mukhlat, don't say anything. Don't come on the scene. Stay at home. Stay in Bais Medrash. Why shouldn't you come on the scene? Because even if he gives him the good news that you're now Tahar, that's going to be bad news because he won't be able to live with his wife for the next 7 days. And after all, it's Chol HaMoed, it's Yom Tov. He wants to be close to his wife. If you're going to tell him, if you're not going to tell him anything, he's going to remain mukhlad. He won't be able to return to the machne. He prefers tzavsa the ishtoi more than tzavsa the amr. So that is according to the first girsa. But now we have the other girsa. And what was that? The nir and divir reb meir b'mukhlad and reb yoshi muzgar. So that's the next Rashi. Umar sa mitzav the amr adifrei. Hai tana di omar omar rebi. Nirin Dibri Meir bin Mukhlad the Dibri Byoisi bin Muska Sava Tsafsa the Alma the Flay. I prefer to be in society, to be able to go and be together with my wonderful friends, like Big Brother Shai, who I am so fond of. I want to be next to him, I want to be able to chat, but we want to be able to extend and share Divrei Torah, etc., etc. Olahachi Chozi b'mei Chaluta. That's why he should see b'mei Chaluta. So, Divrei Meir b'mukhlad, yes, go and see and declare. What? The imetamoi, limetamoi yoish min mekara. Worst comes to worst, he's going to say, your tamei, nothing has changed. He's anyway a mukhlad, so he continues to be a mukhlad for another week, for another month, for another year. The mitare misamchoi. If he says Baruch Hashem Yatar, what a simcha! It's like tzavs of the alma. He'll be able to come back into society. Avagav the osmatash shamita. Even though now during Yemei Sfirai he won't be able to live with his wife, tzavs of the alma adiflei. I'm more concerned about being able to chepa with my friends in Bais Medrash than being together with my wife at home.
That's a little.
Do you like the first chat better, right?
He's a single guy.
The question of those singles, what do they prefer? Anyway, it is what it is.
Is it a 1 week period after he's...
He makes Fira is just a
one week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. It's 2 weeks in quarantine. But after Mukhlad is here,
it was a fifth.
If he's clean after the second...
If they decide that he is clean now, he has to go and do a tiglachas, he has to remove his ear, he counts 7 days, at the end of 7 days, he has a shmini, which is the beginning of Parshas Shmini, then he goes into the Beis Hamikdash, and he brings 3 kabbanis, and then, kusha v'yusha. Well, that's good to the mikvah, but that, after it's a 7 day period, 8th day brings kabbanis, we're done. Yes.
What I mean is that. Now that happens even if he's not mukhlad.
I mean, if he's a muzgar, I don't think he needs to go. Well, you're asking very good questions. In the beginning of Masechtes Megillah, back of Daf Chesedes. Shelly, please mute yourself because we have. Yes. If you go back to Daf Chesed Beis in Masechtes Megillah, Ein Bein. Shelly. You're sharing all the secrets. Ein bein mitzayda muskel mitzayda mukhlad ela pri ofrima, says Gemara in Yin Shiluach. The tumah zeh v'zeh shavah. The gabi shiluach, they're both the same. So that's the gabi shiluach. But let me talk about what happens when you make svira. Gemara doesn't go into that. So we'd have to look up either the psukim or mesechus negoyim. What's it in? Whether by muskel you also have to. I'm under the impression by muskel you don't have to have the make svira, but I can't tell you for sure. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, I think we finished the Rashi, or we're about to finish the Rashi. Go back to that Rashi. The Divrei Reb Yosef Muskar, the last 3 lines of that Rashi. The Divrei Reb Yosef Muskar, the Loi Chazilei. According to Reb Yosef, don't go. Says Rebbe, I agree. Don't go. Why? Because the Matamilei, maybe he's going to be Matamahim. Because until now he was just a Muskar, he was quarantined at home. But if the Reb Yosef holds that. If you're called to the scene, you have to tell him both good news and bad news. If he tells him the bad news, he's going to have to go chutz gilam achnois. But let's lay tzavs of the alma. Mitzarli is going to be upset. I can't go and check with my friends. What's going to be? I have good news for you. You're a mitzarli mukhlat. Now you'll have your wife. Nah, my wife. I want to be with my friends in society. So you see that there's a huge amount of shalom bayis there at home, and therefore he's really concerned about that. So, that's the reason for the 2 views in our Gemara, where the Rebbe holds Rabbi Yosef Mukhlat and Rabbi Meir Muskar, or is it Rabbi Yosef Muskar and Rabbi Meir Muskar?
Bottom line is how much one values their spouse.
Yeah, it depends on the nature of his marriage.
In this Gemara, not necessarily for all Gemaras. For the purpose of this Gemara, that's exactly right.
Zogimar.
I'm sorry?
You said the Mishmidi was connection with Kisara.
So you can tell me Mishmidi's connection with the Mishkan?
Yes.
Please give me the...
Yeah, no, I was looking for the...
No, I'm going to get back to you. Don't be upset. Don't be nervous.
Tajim Mitzora, I think, right?
Maybe. You're absolutely right. That's where you would expect to find it. We're doing fine.
You even used the kosher home.
I did, yeah.
The kosher
home. I needed to pass it on.
Okay. Parshas Matzay. V'damer shel Moshe Leimer. Zo yistia teres matzay to b'yoyim taharasoy. Baruch Hashem. V'hu v'ra koyin. V'yotza koyin. V'ro ha koyin. He goes b'chutz l'machne. To the matzay to muchlat. V'ra koyin. V'inirpa nega tzeras v'na tzeruah. Baruch Hashem. Great news. V'tziva ha koyin. V'lokach ha'mitay. Shtei tziporim chayis to hoyroiz. V'eitz erez. V'shni tolaz. V'ezoif. V'tziva ha koyin. V'shochle tzipor echos. Elkli chayis ha'mayim chayim. This is outside the Beis HaMikdash. You have the two tziporim. Shechs one. Dips it into the blood. As a tzipor chayi. Yikach oysa. And he puts it. V'dam ha'tzipor ha'shchuta. V'tovol oysan. V'hizal mitar. V'gam tzigishat. And then what happens? Uva Yom Hashmini. Well, we didn't get there yet. We should go and count 7 days first. It says V'yosha Michutz L'Holoi Shivas Yom. Now for the interim 7 day period, sit outside your oil. V'hoya V'yom Hashvi on the 7th day. Yigalichas Kol Se'oroi. He has to take a full haircut from top to bottom, including his beard, including his eyelids, his eyebrows, etc. V'yom Hashmini Yikach Shnei Kivasim Tmimim V'chafse Achas Bashinasim Tmimim. You take 3 animals and bring 3 korbanos as it's enumerated. So now this V'yom Hashmini is not the beginning of Parsha Shmini, but it's the beginning of the V'yom Hashmini for purposes of 3 korbanos.
It's not our topic, but it seems like our Gemara is being associated with Gemara Megillah Daf Ches Lamed Beis. He says Eimei Sor Mizim Mitzor Muchlat El Priyu Frima. It's not talking about the company of his wife or his friends.
You're asking an excellent question.
I'm a month late.
You're doing beautifully. Mm-hmm. If you go back to Zion Amid Aleph to our Gemara Moyet Kot, you see the long choices on the Rebbe here in the Remei of the Musker.
Yes.
My dear, they couldn't just the Musker also Tasha Shemita. Where does he take this from? Is that your kasha?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so homework. Look through the Tosfos on Zayin Amud Aleph.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Is it reversed also? A wife, a woman who becomes a besorah, her husband can.
I believe it's the same thing, but don't hold me to it. I think it applies. I don't think there's any discrimination here. Anyway, so getting
equality.
Back. Getting back to our Gemara, Lememra, we're about 8 or 9 lines from the top of the Amud. Lememra, based on what you've told me, Muchlat Mutim B'Tasha Shemita. Now that sounds extraordinary. You're telling me Musker is Aser and Muchlat is Mutter. In, is that the case? Yeah! That is the halacha Batanya, like it says in the Braisa. The Yosha Michutz L'Halei Shivas Yom. Again, after the Kohen says it's your Tahar, and that Baruch Hashem, he took care of the two Tziporim, he's got to sit Chutz L'Halei Shivas Yom in the pasuk that we just read a moment ago. So what does that mean, Chutz L'Halei? Michi Yosha Mitashim Amita. Now how do I know that sitting out of the oil means don't live with your wife? The Eina Halei Le'ishtoi, she never said at the end of Matan Tari Lechem Olehem L'Chut Shusacham L'Olechem. Like we quoted, yeah, this week said it, exactly right. Okay, so what does that mean? That means until now it was mutter, sorry, the muchlat, and now we're telling it, but now the 7 days, no, b'chutz l'ayel, asu d'ashir amita. So that's his right. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, shivas yomim yisprulay, yimei safiroy, v'lo yimei chalutoy. That this din that we just said now of Yashua chutz l'ayel, that during the yisprulay, the yimei safiroy. But not the Yemei Chalutah. And that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell us. Rabbi Yosef Yud Oimer, Zayin Yemei Sfirah, Kal V'choyvel Yemei Chalutah. Rabbi Yosef says, I don't understand what you're talking about. After all, it's a Kal V'choyvel. Madach during the Yemei Sfirah, where he is one step away from freedom, Mi'at Hashem on the 8th day, B'yom Hashmini, not Parshas Shmini, but B'yom Hashmini and Parshas Metzora, where he's going to go and bring his 3 korbanos. What's the din? You're telling me during those 7 days he's prohibited to live with his wife? Wouldn't you say for sure, Jemei Yemei Chalutai, where's that Metzora Mukhar is for sure awesome? So this is, therefore you see that what we said before is in fact a machloikis, but the Gemara until now assumed, like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only a Meis Sfiroi, v'lo yemei chalutoi, and that's why, depending on which of the two tanoim that you follow, the Talmidei Rebbe, well, it's good to tell him about the fact that he's becoming both muchlat and he now is becoming tar. Is that good news or is that bad news?
But the chalut being a mitzvah muchlat, yeah, can be said, can be indefinite.
For sure.
In the case of a musgur, it's a week, 2 weeks.
Right.
That's fine. He's mesfiro, 7 days.
This mesfiro is not talking about the 2 weeks before.
No, it's like post. So at the beginning of the process, when he's a musgur, be a week or 2 weeks.
Right.
At the end, when it's mesfiro, it's 7 days.
Right.
But the mukhlat is indefinite. To deny him the company of his wife, he's batel peri v'rivia. I mean, it's a...
He's going to do even more tshuva, and he's going to go and clap even harder, al-chet.
Okay.
But that's what Rabbi Yehuda... So you obviously like Rabbi Yehuda.
Yes.
And that's why you apparently would look like the... You'd hold like the mandiyama that's out. The ishtay al-adifalei. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, mamela the wife. But the important thing is he wants to be back into civilization. So Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a zayim meisvir, kavachayim l'meichalut of that zikharos. V'yomar b'chia, danti l'fnei Rebbe. So Chia said to Rebbe, I'm going to go and prove it to you, l'choira, like one of the two. How are you going to prove it to me? From Tanakh. What does it say in Tanakh? L'maratanu Rebbeinu. Don't you remember when we were learning in our Nach class, in the Nach Shir, the Yoisam was the son of Uziyahu. Uziyahu HaMelech was a Melech Yehuda, who was a Metzorah for 52 years. And his son Yoisam was a really nice son, and he was the... He implemented all of the decisions of his father. His father, unfortunately, was a Metzorah Mukhlat. He was Chutz L'Machne, but he must have sent them emails or texts or faxes or messengers. But bottom line, he knew what Uziyo, his father, wanted to do. So Yoisim was the acting president in the absence of his father. Not the acting president, but the acting king, the absence of his father. Now, it says in Tanakh that he became a Metzorah Mukhlat after 27 years of his reign, leaving 25 years after that, where he continued to reign as the king, but he was a Metzorah Mukhlat. So you have a case of Metzorah Mukhlat for 25 years. And then it says that when he died, Yoisim took over for his father, and Yoisim at that time, it says that Tanakh was 25 years old.
So
how was Yoisim born during that 52-year period, if you're not going to live with your wife?
It wasn't in vitro then.
An actual conception.
Zok the Gemara, that's how Reb Chiya is trying to prove to Rebbe, the Matan Rebbeinu, Yoisim lahir leili uziyo, el mechalutai.
So this is actually a kasha of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It's a tiyufta to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who's a Tana, right?
You're 100% right. This is a very strong kasha on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So how do you answer? Our Gemara does not address this. However, the Rishonim go and address this and say that it's talking about that there was an interim period where he lived with his wife before he became Amtzer Mukhar. In other words, although it's 27 plus 25, but there was like a month in between where he still lived with his wife, and then before he became the Amtzer Mukhar. Because the first 27 years of his reign, he wasn't Amtzer Mukhar. It's only the last 25. So there was a short period in between that he was able to live. Anyway, if you want to look more at the long choices here on the right hand side gets into this and other Rishonim as well. But that was his ride that he brought from Reisim. Omalai, af anikach amarti. I agree with you. In other words, Rabbi is saying to Rabbi, Rabbi says, I'm on your side. You know, you're preaching to the choir. You're singing to the choir or preaching to the reeds, whatever the proper metaphor is. So you want Mike the fleet, what is the machloikis between the two mandiyamrim that we had, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda saw by Goli Rachmana be mei sfirai ve kolshki mei chaluta. It's a very simple kal v'choymer. And odem don kal v'choymer mei atzmai. If the Torah says during mei sfirai he's osir, avadi mei chalut is zirka gotta be osir. This is the all hilchas tum of the tahara are beyond human comprehension.
For sure,
it's all based on zeris akosim the lachlam which we see now and what it says in the Torah. Whether you agree, whether you disagree, whether you like it, you don't like it, azoy shtet. So it says in the Torah, you may sphere is also. It doesn't say about you may chalutai. So therefore, I'm going to be medayik only may sphere and not you may chalutai. So you want to remember the Bekoyim Talia Milza. Okay, so we concluded this whole shtickle. We got over to this because of the two gear sois, whether Rebbe holds like a Yosef Mukhlat or Rebbe Meir Musker or the opposite. So we finished that piece. But one thing we see from this entire sugya, from beginning to end, is that the kohen is the deciding person. The kohen is the one that makes the decision, and therefore, it's the. Have a wonderful day, Brother Shai. I didn't mean chas v'shalom to. It's just. It's good. Okay, we're still friends. Yeah, still brothers. Remember, the Bekoyin Talia Mutsa, I had my people in Muncie ask me, who listened to the tape during the week. He says, how come I never call any of them brothers? How come only the West Side is brothers? I said, not everybody on the West Side. It's only Brother Shai.
I'm on a side where I call everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, a real good brother. Anyway, so continuing on. Zagi Bech, have a wonderful day. Remember, the Bekoyin Talia Mutsa, are you telling me that it depends on the Koyin? And yeah, it talking depends on the Koyin. What Talia, like it says in the Pasuk. Uviyoim. Hey, Roy's boy, Basar Chai Yitma. On the day that he sees it, of course, on the day. You only look at the goyim during the day. You don't look at the goyim at the night. So, what is this? Will be Yom coming to tell you? Oh, Yeshem Shata Roy boy, Yeshem Shiata Roy boy. We tell the Kahanim, some days you should see, some days you're off on vacation, don't look at the goyim. Mikan Omru. Chosin Shinoi Lubay Nega, Noisle Zayin Yimei Hamishta, Loi. Ulevesoi, uleksusoi, mechaim beregel, noisilo, yishimis yimei regel, debe Rebbe Yehuda. The regel is our Mishnah.
Right.
That during the regel, those are the yomim she'i'at to royabem. And the same thing applies to Chusin Kala. Chusin Baruch Hashem just got married. Now, the first day after he was together with his Kala, and the Kala says, hey, what's that on your nose, on your toes, on your arm? What is that white blotch? It doesn't look so good. They call up the kohen. The kohen says, you're a chusin,
no thanks.
I'm not coming in, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to ask, I'm staying away. After the Shem Brachos is over, you're going to come and ask me. So, no yisle zayin yimei mishta, loy for him, ula beis l'ksusin, this basic doesn't mean for his wife. Basic susa means, if you think he has a nega tzaras on the bias, or on his ksus, you tell him, come back after Yom Tov, I'm not going to, after your Yom Tov, after the zayin yimei mishta. Yes.
It was the principle of no look, no tell.
No look, no tell. Very good. And the same thing applies on the Shloisha Kol, meaning on the Cholamoyed. Also, noise the Shloisha Meiregel. No look, no tell. Div Reb Yehuda. Just like we had in the Mishnah Rebbe. That is Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi said, no look, no tell, because once he's forced to tell them the good news, he's going to tell the bad news. Reb Yoyim Einitzarch. I don't need the pasuk that you just quoted, Reb Yoyim Eroyes. By Hariyam, I have another pasuk. Now this pasuk is regarding Nigeh Batim, the Tziva Koyin Pino Sabayis. Now what is this with Pino Sabayis? So Rashi already says in Chumash that what happens if the Koyin comes into the Bayis and he looks at the Nigeh Tziraz and Sim Gevorn Choyshech, that means he looks at it and he says, oh no, it looks like the real McCoy. And that means that everything inside the Bayis is going to become Tameh. So before he makes his decision, he says to the workers, feed us a bias, take out all the furniture, take everything out of this bias. Now when the house is totally empty, there's nothing left, then he says, Tomei. Now what right does he have to go and do that? As soon as he sees that it's Tomei, that's Pshan the Pasuk. But Tiva Koyin Finis Abayis, Beterem Yovi Akoyin Liris is Anoga of Liv Makolash Abayis, Imamtinim Loi Vidvar Ashus. If you're allowed to go and wait, and the Koyin will say, I'm not ready to make my decision yet, I'm going to come back in 3 hours, I'm going to come back tomorrow, and that's Vidvar Ashus. It's not talking about being Mesameach Ishtoi Mesimchas Aregel, it's just talking about because I don't want the furniture to be Tomek. It's Koshke Vidvar Mitzvah that you can be Mamtin, and therefore I don't need the Drasha of the Giyan Hiroi's boy. I'm going to learn from Betziva HaKoyin. But the Maisi, they both say the same thing. So by Menai, you learn from this drasha, from that drasha. I'm Rabbi Mashmoy Zoshini Kemenai. There's no Nafkimin al Halacha. It's just which pasuk do we know is the Makor, is the source that the Koyin can say, I'm not looking today, I'm going to come back later. Or next day, or next week, or whatever. But Rava Omar, not Dvar Rishus Kemenai. There is a grace in Nafkimin al Gabi Dvar Horishus. Now, what does Rava mean? Rava means to say is, because the second pasuk that we're quoting, the Tziva Koyin, the Tziva Bayis, is not talking about Nigei Odom. It's only talking about Nigei Batin. And therefore, who says that you can learn one from the other? And that's why the first Mandi Yama says, I'm not happy with that drasha. I'm only going to learn from my pasuk.
Which is Nigei Odom.
Nigei Odom, and that's only by a Dvar Mitzvah that either a Chosin or regel that is a mitzvah to go and be Mesameh. You want me to go and learn from Nigei Batim? I refuse to learn from Nigei Batim. As we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't learn because of Chiddush. Ah, so therefore, if a person has a Dvar Harishus, not a Dvar Mitzvah, Chmaisi has a major closing in a couple of hours, and therefore he cannot afford to become a Metzayra. Would that be enough of a reason to go and tell the Kohen, Kohen, come back later, I'm not going to go and call you now?
That's the Meruba.
That would, okay, so that's the Machloikis Varishus. According to Rebbe that learns from Ufini Wasabais, which is Mamtino Leded Var Harishus, and I'm learning not only the Gabi Nigi Batim, but also the Gabi Nigi Adam, just like over there it can be Mamtel Varishus, here too it can be Mamtel Varishus. But according to Rabbi Yehuda that learns it from the Basik of Yem Eroi's boy, where it's only for Simcha, this is Varishus, I can't wait. Once the Kohen has been notified, he's got to come over and he's got to decide. Why, Taka, don't I learn from the second pasuk? Because the chiddushu. What's the chiddushu? Etzim avonim ba'alma limitami v'achem etami. Here talking about, says Rashi, even pshute kli eitz loim mekabli tumah. Now it doesn't say exactly where the etzim avonim are, but the word of Mephoshim understand that it means the building pieces of the building itself. He sees on the building itself there's a negat tzaras. This eight, this Evan in the wall is Tameh.
But I'm never Makabal to him, whether percussion or not.
Exactly, and even eight, it's only Pshutikli Eitz and Makabal to him. And when you have a Pshutikli Eitz in the wall, if the wall is made out of lumber, that's Pshutikli Eitz. So in Bazoi, Zutimara, it's like Metam. It is Metam. So you see that the whole parasha of Nigei Batim is a Chidush, and therefore you cannot learn from there to Nigei Adam. For Rabbi Omar, it's, I need both Psukim. Why both psukim? Because Rachmana uviyem heroi's boy have been a dvar mitzvah in the dvar rishus loy, like we said before. Because Rachmana betzivah koyin to go and tell you ufinu es abayis, even if it's dvar rishus, like the furniture. Because Rachmana betzivah koyin have a mina hani in the lav tuma de gufe. That's only a din of tumas batim, not tumas like Rabbi Yehuda said. It's a chiddush only tumas, but not tumas gufe. Ah, but tumas gufe, ei mamnechzi chazile. I would think that maybe the kohen has to rush over and to go and see what's going on, whether it's during the week, whether it's regular, whether it's a chosin, makes no difference. So that's why you have to have both psukim to tell you sometimes yes and sometimes no. Should we learn another three lines of the
I'll
where do you see this in the word uviyoin heroi's boy that some yomim yes and some yomim not? I'm rabbi in kindach rachmana biyoin my uviyoin shmamina yeshem shiataroyabai yeshem shiataroyabai, and therefore which yomim, normal yomim, you are royabai, but by chosan or chalamayin iata royabai. Well, according to Rav, I'm calling Craig to say to who? To be continued tomorrow.
It's interesting that we have Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir.
Thank you, Shelley, for your very witty comments and additions.
I just have to say that you call brother Shai brother. The rest of us you call no ach.
Okay, very good. Zach Avenged, have a wonderful day.
Speaking of brothers, my granddaughter had a new brother. We had a new baby this week.
Oh, Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov, Steve. Simon Toif. What happened to your granddaughter?
My grandson got engaged.
Who got engaged?
My grandson, Yonatan, got engaged.
You have a